In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please sit. I learnt the power of a great truth just before this service. I was looking for a very, very small screwdriver to unlock a fan so I could put new batteries in. And would you believe it? Someone in the congregation had a very, very small screwdriver which opened the fan and the batteries are in, which proves to me, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Although it did occur to me afterwards, it's a little risque for an Episcopal priest just before an 8 o'clock service to go around asking for a screwdriver. Okay. I will offer this as a rhetorical question because you're not going to give me an answer. But this is what St. Paul would ask you. Who can separate us from the love of God? And friends, I suggest that you ponder that question. Because if you have an answer to that question, God wants to work with you. Because the answer is no one. Nothing. And I could say at this point, Amen, but I'm not going to. The great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, one of my great favorites, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote these words. A Christian brother was asked one day, "To what persuasion do you belong?" He parried the question at first because he thought it was unimportant. But the inquirer persisted, "What is your persuasion?" "Well," he said, "if you must know, my persuasion is this. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God." And that preacher, Spurgeon, continues, "I also am of that persuasion." And this preacher, 21st century, says also, "I also am of that persuasion." The first sermon I preached just over 50 years ago, preached in a pulpit in a London church, was based on this text from Romans chapter 8. You know, I think if I could read that text today, I would doubtless be embarrassed by its awkwardness of phrase, by its aridity of passion, by its objectiveness. But I would not be embarrassed by the choice of the text. Can you not sense how thrilled I am, well, as thrilled an Episcopal priest can be, but how thrilled I am that 50 years has been spent ministering under the mission of that verse. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Spurgeon continues, "Dear brethren, if I could extend the time for this sermon to 24 hours, I might give you all of the arguments, or most of the arguments, which support the blessed truth of non-separation of us from God's love. This truth," he says, "seems to me to have struck its roots into all other truths of Scripture, to have twisted itself among the granite rocks which are the very foundation of our hope." Amen. The English word "separate" comes from a Koine Greek word charizo. In ancient papyri, it refers to divorcing a marriage partner, vacating the relationship, not just in body, but in soul and mind and property. something we know reaches to the very heights of White House communication officer. The word speaks of separation and division. The word speaks of a space that is somehow being created forcibly by the action of one or more agents. I am persuaded that nothing, supernatural or natural, eternal or temporal, distant or near, can create a space between me and the love of God. And my pastoral ministry only has validity and energy in as much as I'm also persuaded that there is nothing that can create a space between you, each of you, and God's love. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds voice because God has shown it to me and to you. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds a voice because one pays attention to what is happening in life and reflects on what God is trying to communicate. I am persuaded. This is the conviction that finds voice because of not only my experiences, not only your experiences, but the experiences of those fellow journeying people on the spiritual life recorded in Holy Scripture. Long ago, a spiritual director was told with grief and a little anger by a client that God seems so distant. And the director's response was, well, guess who moved? Friends, it is integral to the very being of God that we cannot be separated from him. Anything else is a devilish lie, a paralyzing falsehood, fake news. Now, over the past few weeks, from this desk below me, our faithful, dedicated readers, Miriam amongst them, have valiantly struggled with Paul's convoluted and complicated collection of phrases. Paul, who never seems to know how to use a full stop in a sentence. And from Romans 1:17 to this very point, it has been complicated. Paul has slowly been building an edifice that is at last crowned with this glorious statement, I am persuaded. And one commentator writes, we have here not a jumble of obiter dicta, incidental remarks, but a coordinated presentation of Christianity. And from this pinnacle, at the end of Romans chapter 8, Paul delves into the complicated story of God's dealing with the Jewish people, 9 through 11. But he does it because he has this belief you cannot be separated from God's love. And then in Romans 12 onwards, he deals with the way Christians should live in the world. But we live in the world because we are persuaded that we cannot be separated from God's love. And so he says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To quote my South Dakotan friends, you betcha. You see, the more we are grasped by this truth, and I will confess to you that it's a progress for me that is sometimes 4 steps forward and 1 step back, or 5 steps forward and 10 steps back. The more we are grasped by this truth, the more our lives will change. They just cannot but be changed. We come to baptize two young ones today, Sasha and Sophia. Last night I married Frank and Christina. I pray that those four will never believe that they can be separated from the love of God. Those whom we love but see no longer, they cannot be separated from the love of God. Family or friends that for whatever reason seem so distant to us now, and there is friction and conflict, they can never be separated from the love of God. And I conclude with a quotation from Professor Dodd from Oxford and Manchester. He writes, "This assurance is not automatic. It has to fight its way through powerful opposing forces. Natural, supernatural powers threaten it. Demonic powers continually try to take us out of God's love, to ridicule it, cast doubts on it as an untenable superstition. But what Paul has taught us in these eight chapters of Romans is not a beautiful theory, but an experience tried in the fiery trial of suffering and struggle." End of quotation. What can separate us from the love of God? This may be one of the most important questions for us to tackle. Fellow pilgrim, dear friend, surrender afresh, anew, to this magnificent truth. Nothing, no one can separate us from God's love. Alleluia. Amen.